Catholic girl, love the mass. I watch the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning. I got confirmed and I confessed, I really felt that I was blessed. Plus I love my uniform, so did the boy who lived next door. But something changed when I became of age, and all those things I thought were true, someday I'd break the big taboo. Oh, let it go, God. Let it go, God.
And welcome to the Free Thought Radio Hour. You are listening to 103.9 Wozo Radio. It's WOZOLPFM 103.9, live from Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm not getting much in the headphones. There you go. That sounds better. And on the phone, we have the Wombat.
The Wombat!
Welcome back to the show, Wombat. Are you calling in?
Nice to be here. Thank you.
Calling in from KY Land.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And I'm Doubter Five. This is an atheist show. We'll be talking about atheism, free thought, humanism, rational thought, and science. And conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, God's holy books, and superstition, probably. Despite what Steve Martin would have you think, there are an awful lot of atheist songs, and you'll hear some of them right here in this program. We'll also talk about atheist and rationalist groups that reside here in Knoxville and how you can connect with them. And did you know that there was an atheist television show broadcasting right here in Knoxville?
I didn't know that.
Yes, yeah. You knew that.
I've been asking for that for the longest period of time.
Yeah, I've told you once or twice, I'm sure. And we've been broadcasting for 6 years, and you will be talking about that a little bit later, about how you can watch that. Of course, this is an atheist radio show, so you have radio and TV and just all kinds of groups in Knoxville. So there's a very active free thought community in K-Town.
Very active.
Yep. You were a member for a while before you moved out of state. And you're still a member online, so that's great. It's wonderful the way that happens. Okay, you brought us a topic today. What is your topic?
So our topic today is being absolutely logical. Doesn't sound very fun, but it's actually really interesting.
Can make your life better.
I think we talked about last week about the dangers of saying you know something 100% or being absolutely confident about certain things. Was that my mental failure?
Yeah, we talked about some logical fallacies and other things as well.
I
was just going to say that we did talk about absolutes and how so few of those are in the world today, and certainty is a rare commodity as well.
Right. And then if you don't know what the logical absolutes are, can you say you know it, or what can you be confident in 100%? And it's a dangerous world because there's a lot of misinformation out there. There's a lot of people who want to make you believe things that aren't necessarily true. So what if I told you that if I were to wipe away all the information that we knew, take away all the truth that we had, take away all the knowledge we had, there's still some facets, there's still some truths, objective truths, that cannot be denied, that are in fact so true that in order for you to deny them, you have to assume they're true in the first place, which kind of is self-defeating.
To be able to go forward at all.
It's a weird thing.
Yeah. And what truths will that be?
It's actually a really cool thing, logical absolutes, and I want to go over them today. But before I do that, I think maybe it would help if I put on my Christian set.
Okay.
Do you have that?
Yeah, I do. There you go. Yeah, I can hear you putting it on.
Oh, okay, here it is. I can feel it coming in. Okay.
Those screws are pretty deep.
So nice to have this thing back on.
Yeah.
Okay. Larry.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
So, you are an atheist, right?
I am.
That means basically you don't believe in anything, right?
No, that's wrong.
Oh? Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Tell me about this.
I believe in family and home and hearth and health and working to reach your goals. I believe in making your own purpose in life. I believe in a lot of things. When people say that atheists don't believe
in
anything.
Well, let me ask you a question. How do you know any of those things exist without a God? Like, how do you know any of those, like family, anything? How do you know that
they...
Are you telling me it's possible to know something without having God in your life?
Well, what I'm saying is, how do you know that any of those things are true, even if you believe in God, because you can't even prove that God is real. So all of you, if all of those foundations are resting upon God and you can't prove that God is real, how can you justify any of those beliefs?
Well, how can you justify your beliefs? We're both in a situation where neither our beliefs can be justified. If that's the case,
why do you even ask? Because mine rest on human values and human existence. We know that's real.
But how do you even know they're real? How can you demonstrate them?
Okay.
Do you have any sort of like basis that you prove that they're true without a fact?
Well,
absolutely.
I have to start with myself. And Descartes summed it up pretty well. He says, I know I'm real because I at least know that I think. Because I'm thinking now. Even if all of this let's say that I'm a brain in a jar and I'm being fed information by some mad scientist out there. I think Descartes called him a super genius or something. But
yeah,
at least,
how do I put it? Like religious faith. Let's say you're in a program by a demon, like a demon's controlling you through magic.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And everything you experience is just the work of...
Right. Let's carry it one step forward. Let's say that I didn't exist before this morning. I was created last night, and all these memories that I think I have were put in my head. And when I woke up, I feel like it's a continuation of my life. But I can't even be sure, positive, that that didn't happen.
Right. In fact, there's a lot of... there's some sects in Christianity that believe that things have been created with apparent age. For example,
right.
Like our fossil records, all of our biology, the Earth shifts, the light years, light traveling through space takes like millions of years to get to us, but we're seeing it come to us just now. And
right.
If the world's only 6,000 years old, how did light get there in the first place
yeah.
to come to alive?
Well, they go farther than that.
Yeah, we have apparent age all over the place.
Yeah.
How can you come back? So what's this Descartes thing that you're talking about? Because it sounds like you're from the
yeah.
point.
Well, what he said was that I think, therefore I am. I mean, I'm at least a receptacle for the memories and images and thought processes that would go on, even if I'm just a brain in a vat that is fed stimuli from a demon. I know that at least I exist because I think.
Okay, so we know one thing.
Right.
It's a really, really core thing,
right.
at least.
Mm-hmm.
But
very
it's
cool.
very, very, very nuanced, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's that you exist.
Right.
Or if I were to say for myself that I exist because I know that even if I was trying to be tricked into my own existence, I would still be the target of that trickery. Therefore,
right.
I exist. Even if I say I don't know I exist,
uh-huh.
I'm still referring to myself. I'm still acknowledging that there is a subject that does know or does not know. That is existing.
That's true.
So there's no way for me to deny my existence.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you're saying?
Right. And River is in the house. Hello, Rip.
Hello.
River!
Say hi.
In the house.
Hey.
Nice almost hearing you again.
Yeah, you too. Likewise.
Yeah. Okay, so...
This actually brings up an interesting point, because I can prove I exist. Larry, you can prove you exist.
Uh-huh.
River, you can prove you exist as if you just walked into the room right now. But can Dr. Five, can you prove that I exist?
No.
And can I prove that River exists?
No. We can make general assumptions on the fact that we hear your voice, that there is an intelligence on the other end of this wire. But as far as proof, no. I mean, I could record it, play it back for people, and they would be convinced. But as far as if we're thinking that it might be a mirage or an auditory hallucination... No, that's entirely possible that I could be making you up.
We could all be solipsists, but, I mean, that's aside.
Not very productive.
Yeah.
So you're saying there is a chance that I may not exist at all, or River may not exist. It may just be you, but
yeah.
You are 100% confident that you do exist.
I'd say yes. Huh. Now, well, think about it.
I would say that's like one of the... So I would say there's three major logical absolutes that we'll go into today. But that is not one of the three, but I think the core fundamental one that we can at least start with. It's the anchor that I like to call, like, just the state of the argument for existence. I know I exist because even to be tricked that I don't exist, it starts this whole logical fallacy where what's the agent of this trickery? What's the target of this trickery? It has to be something that exists, which is me.
Do you understand what
I'm saying? I think therefore I am.
The agent of what? Right. That we think therefore we are is a fundamental block of logic.
All right. I mean, if you were to have go ahead.
Go ahead, Rib.
Well, sure. I was saying, though, even if I don't know you exist, even if I don't know River exists, even if I don't know if my car outside exists or traffic laws exist, I'm still stuck with this reality that I seem to be observing. Like, there seems to be a reality that's consistent with observations that I've been making over a period of time. And whether or not they're real or not, I'm still stuck with them. So I know I exist, and whether or not I'm hallucinating to have these observations, I'm still stuck with them. So I have to start trying to make some assumptions about the reality that exists around me. And that's when these other logical absolutes start to come into place. You see where I'm going?
Yes, I do. Well, let's talk about them then. What would you go ahead and start off on it? What's the first logical absolute?
Sure. So on the assumption that I exist, or not an assumption, I know I exist, but on the assumption that we are in a universe where we can start making some rationalizations, I can make some observations, I can try to communicate them to you. But I have, if I was trying to do this as empirically as possible, which means making as few assumptions as possible, I'm going to have to make some weird statements. And these weird statements are what we call logic statements, but we'll just start off with the first one. For example, I know that I am what I am. Does that make sense?
Sound like
I am
your Popeye. I am what I am.
I am what I am. If I am, which I know I am, then I am what I am.
Right.
It's not like I'm adding anything new to the sentence.
Yeah. Yep.
But it's a logical absolute that something that is something is that something.
Yeah, A equals A, in other words.
A equals A, X equals X, a baseball equals a baseball, this mm-hmm. pen is this pen, this conversation that we're having is this conversation that we're having.
Right, and it's not...
Do you have a beard on right now?
A beard?
Do
I do.
Hair?
I do.
Yeah, we both have flowing facial hair specimens.
Yep.
Nice. Your beards are your beards. It's an amazing thing.
And they're not our beards.
100% surety.
Uh-huh. And there are not our beards. But that's the next one, isn't it?
Sorry, didn't catch that.
I said they are our beards because they are our beards, and they are not our beards. Did you? Well, go ahead to the next one. I think that it'll come up when you get to the next one.
Sure. We're going to go into the next one then.
Uh-huh.
So the next logical absolute, so we did a law of identity. So before we're talking about a law, not necessarily a law of existence, but a statement of existence, which is I am, I think therefore I am, or there's no way for me to deny that I exist.
Right.
And then second one, I think law of identity is a I am, because or I am what I am. And there's nothing else other than that. I am what I am. That is that. This is this. And now we have another component. So there are two people in the radio station right now. There's Larry and there's River.
Mm-hmm.
Larry is one person. River is another person. They both individually know that they exist. But I can point at Larry and say, Larry, you are not River. And I can look at River and I can say, River, you are not Larry. And that's logically consistent. You are two different things.
Right.
Larry is Larry, River is River, but River is also not Larry.
Right.
X is not B. An elephant is not a pen.
Right.
Am I making sense?
Yep. At least I'm following along.
I got my Christian hat on. This doesn't seem to make any sense. I'm just talking logical tones. I'm just speaking in tones. So explain this to me.
Explain it to you.
Yeah.
Well, it's
how does that possibly make sense?
Well, just go back to using A and B. A is A. A is not A. And A is not be. And, you know, they can't be the same. I mean, if they were identically the same, then they would both be A.
Well, what if I said a baseball is white and red? Is that a contradiction?
Not if it was two-toned. But if you said it was all white and it was all red, then it would be a contradiction. It would be the it's equal to red, but it's also equal to yellow, and that would not be the case. It couldn't be the case. It would be a fallacy.
That's interesting. So if I said, for example, let's try a different object, let's or a different animal. Let's say I said, could I say logically, using the second law or logical axiom that we're trying to come up with, where we say this is not that, like we're trying to differentiate two different things.
Mm-hmm.
Could I say a zebra is white and black? Is that along the same line, or am I using this law?
It would have some white and some.
If the zebra is white. And I can look at another zebra and say, this zebra is black, mm-hmm. but can I say this zebra is both white and black?
I would say so, but it wouldn't be completely, you couldn't say it was completely black and completely white at the same time.
Right.
It couldn't be completely white and completely black at the same time. That's interesting.
If it was in the dark, maybe.
what I'm trying to say is it possible for one thing to be broken down into smaller groups of things so that if I was explaining, for example, if I can talk about something on a global scale, I can talk about, like, humanity. I can talk about, like, people. I can say people do good things, people do bad things.
Mm-hmm.
But if I were to describe people, I could say, hey, this person is good. And I can look at another person, I can say this person is bad. And I can say you're two different people. But there's still a level of nuance. There's still degrees that we can look at them on a finer scale that we can say, even though this person does do some bad things, he does some things with bad things too. And then the good person, we can say, hey, this person's good, they do some bad things with good things.
Right.
What
right.
I'm basically just trying to say is, like, where does the level of detail go? Like, how close do we need to look at something before these logical axioms are actually
I think you'd have to do...
Because right now, you'd have we're to agree. Talking about shack terms. So, like, what degree do we actually utilize these in a makes common sense?
Well, I would think that you'd have to agree on definitions before you try to use them.
Oh, absolutely. So important. Yes.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
Yeah, and... also, absolutes seem to be really strong. So, essentially, even something I wanted to point out was stating X and X and Y and A, that is a statement, right? Not to be confused with... basically a truth and a truth statement. And where those come into conflict sometimes, especially, is when someone is asserting that an apple is a rock, then that is different than an apple not being a rock or a rock not being an apple. So if the observer also has to, I think, have to be a factor of it. So when you come down to absolutes of anything, I think you have to be very careful. So when they're broken down to the most basics, you get the things that are being discussed. You have some kind of conscious thought of thinking, therefore you must exist and proceeding forward.
And especially when you use values like good and bad.
Right, that's very
those are values. Those are values that are, what do you call them,
abstracts.
They're abstracts, but also they're pertain to the person who's using those. What I was saying, they're not
subjective.
They're subjective versus objective, right?
Exactly. Yes. It's a weird thing. So it's absolutely important that when we talk about logical axioms specifically, that one, we know exactly what we're talking about and what we're applying these to. We need to have a definition that we agree on. Because a lot of people hear the same word and apply different connotations or assumptions to it. Whereas the basis of what we're trying to do is explain things without any assumptions whatsoever to show that some things can be absolutely true. And along with that, along with knowing exactly what words we're using, we have to come at this with a fair perspective where is exactly what River had said before. River, do you want to reiterate your point? I don't want to misstate it.
About statements or true statements and the ambiguity?
Yeah.
Or?
Yes.
Okay. Well, essentially, it's actually something that came up in mention when there was a debate between Sinai and Matt Dillahunty. I'm forgetting his name. Sahar something. Anyway.
Yeah, he was a presuppositionalist,
right.
A Christian apologetic.
Yeah, he keeps on holding over Matt's head that we can't know it exists because of brain divide. It's an ongoing thing.
Mm-hmm.
But so he was making the point about statements and true statements. And he made the point of, you know, an asteroid, you know, an atmosphere or a meteor, asteroid out of atmosphere, an asteroid just kind of careening through space is an asteroid, regardless of what we call it. It's what it is, regardless of who observes it. So we can call it a cream cheese if we wanted to. It's not going to change the characteristics of what it is. It's what it is.
Right.
Is
a
what
rose
it is.
A rose, just simply because we call it that.
Right. And but the key thing there is that to assert and to claim that it is a thing is different than it being a thing. And there's always a level of uncertainty there, I think. But so when you come back to the very, very basics, you know, such as Kant was mentioned earlier, I think it was Kant, is that just the very basics that, as Larry was talking about, and it has been mentioned.
So I think these are great points. So yeah, again, we're talking about logical absolutes, which are things that we can be most sure of on a logical basis. But before we go into, like, especially the last one, it's really important that, one, we know exactly what we're defining things that we're talking about. Like, we know exactly what we're talking about with common definitions, and that we go into them with as few assumptions or as few unintended connotations as possible. That way, we're not assuming anything on top of what we're saying.
Right.
So, again, if you're sitting in a chair, Larry knows that he's Larry. I know that I'm Tyrone. And River, you know that you're River. Again, also, we get that we are what we are, and we also know we're not what we are not. And those are basically the three laws, or the three logical absolutes that we've covered so far. There's one more, but we'll probably save it for the second half. But again, first off, I am, I think therefore I am. And what were the other ones?
Well, A is equal to A, and then A is not A is equal to not
Perfect.
A. And A is never equal to A, and you've got the, I guess, the excluded middle.
The excluded middle looks so complex. This is the part where I almost got kicked out of the party, I'll tell you that.
But no, well, go ahead, bring it up and see what happens. We've got 5 minutes.
Don't get angry.
Before the bottom of the hour.
Get some music out so we can stretch our legs a little bit. This will be a fun one.
Well, let me talk a little bit about the clubs and the TV show, and then we'll go to break. The Atheist Society of Knoxville is a club of atheists here in Knoxville that gets together every Tuesday night at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria in the Old City, and you're welcome to come down and talk to us. You're welcome to come down and just have dinner with us and have a beer and just discuss anything you want to, really. As long as you don't preach, proselytize, provoke, or punch, you're perfectly welcome. The rationalists of East Tennessee don't meet at a bar. They do meet on campus at Pellissippi State Community College out there by, I think it's
Hardin Valley Road,
right. And they meet the first and third Sunday of every month. They met this morning about 10:30, and they go to about 12:30. And they have presentations. This morning was a presentation about separation of church and state and the laws that surround that framework. It was very interesting. The TV show that we mentioned a little bit earlier is also on Tuesdays, along with the Atheist Society of Knoxville. The TV show is a production with the Rationalists of East Tennessee that goes on Comcast Channel 12 from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock every Tuesday. And you can catch it streaming online at ctvknox.org, or if you're in town, you can watch it on Community Access TV, Comcast Channel 12,
And there's another station that carries it, but I can never remember the name of it. Oh, well.
Knoxville Community CTV, I think.
Yeah. Oh, well. It's channel 192 on one of the other channels, or one of the other providers, I guess I should say. But anyway, if you'd like to, there's been a... we have a fan of the show that's been recording these episodes and putting them up on YouTube, and you can go to YouTube and watch like 6 years of archives of this show. Just go to YouTube and type in Free Thought Forum Knoxville. That's three words, Free Thought being one word. Free Thought Forum Knoxville. And then you can sort it by date, watch it from beginning to end, or just watch backwards. Either way, your choice. And we're having a pretty good show this Tuesday, if I can remember what it was. I may even be on it. But it's going to be a freewheeling conversation about separation of church and state, so that should be pretty interesting. All right. We're going to take a little break here. We'll be gone for about maybe 6 minutes. And we'll be back, and we can take a minute to stretch our legs, and we'll see you in a little bit.
If you live in or around the Knoxville area and are questioning your religious beliefs or simply believe in one less God than everyone else, well, you're not alone. The Atheist Society of Knoxville is a fun and friendly group of people just like you that meets twice a week at a bar or restaurant. We meet every Tuesday night following the show at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria for happy hour. You'll find our group either inside or on the patio. Look for Richard Dawkins' silver-jacketed book, The God Delusion, standing upright on the table. But if you plan to preach, prophetize, provoke, or punch, please don't. We all question what we believe at one point in our lives. If this is the time for you, come join us for food, drink, conversation, and fun.
Christy, something happened a long time ago in Haiti, and people might not want to talk about it. They were under the heel of the French, and they got together and swore a pact to the devil. They said, we will serve you if you'll get us free from the French. Mm. True story. And so the devil said, okay, it's a deal. But ever since, they have been cursed.
Come shake the hand of my imaginary friend. See the trouble he gets in can't be traced back to me. Oh, he can pretend at the slightest of his whim. He has the power to suspend all rules of morality. And when he gets angry, he can make the lightning strike. He can help me win the fight with his power. Yes, he speaks through me, and it's always positive. 'Cause I can just ask for forgiveness and it's over. So you can't put the blame on me. I'm doing what God said. What God said. What God said. Don't you put the blame on me. I'm doing what God said. What God said. What God said.
So you're praying for the death of the President of the United States. Do you think it's appropriate to say something like that? Or
I'm not saying anything. What I'm doing is repeating what God is saying.
In the name of the one who made us all, I will hide behind these walls from my enemies. Oh, by the power bestowed from up above, I will conquer you because it is my destiny. And with the righteous hand, I will bring you to your knees. I will strip you of your freedom without mercy. And when the earth quakes and the blood runs in the sand, there will be no final stand for the unworthy. So you can't put the blame on me. I'm doing what God said. What God said. I'm doing what God said. What God said.
So you can't put the blame on me. I'm doing what God said. What God said. What God said. And he speaks to only me. I know what God said. What God said. What God
Do you find stories of talking snakes laughable? Do you prefer the scientific method over supernatural beliefs? Are you concerned about religious leaders and organizations imposing their values and rules on your body, your family, and the rest of our society? Well, take comfort in the fact that you're not alone. The Rationalists of East Tennessee meets weekly for fellowship and provides a forum for people who support skeptical thinking and rational discussion of these and other issues. To find out more information or to find out about our next meeting, visit us on the web at www.rationalist.org.
And we're back. This is Free Thought Radio Hour, and this is WOZOLPFM 103.9 in Knoxville, Tennessee. We've been talking to the Wombat.
Wombat!
Hello, Wombat. And River.
Hello.
And this is a call-in show. We have a phone number here at 865-333-5937. That's 333-5937. We do have a line open, and you're welcome to call in and join the conversation. And where do we leave it off there, Wombat?
We were stretching out our lives because we were just talking a bunch of nonsense. But let's just a quick review. We are, we exist, and we also are what we are, and we also are what we are not what we are not.
Right.
And that all. And I think that summarizes the whole last 15 minutes we talked about. We are what we are, and we are not what we're not.
Yeah, well,
that's what, a good extent so far.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. So why is it important to know these things?
Were you going to ask something?
Huh?
Were you asking something?
Well, I was saying, you're talking about a dichotomy, right? Something is what it is, it isn't what it isn't. That's a dichotomy.
It's important. So the next rule, the last rule, the last absolute involves dichotomies. And I'll throw this definition out and see if we all agree, because it's really important that we have a working vocabulary, right?
Right.
So if I said a dichotomy is basically a set of two things that completely exclude each other and there's no middle ground whatsoever, that's what a dichotomy is. It's like a binary system. It's a system where only two things can exist.
Okay. Sounds right.
Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
So to be like, for example, it's a little different from like opposites. We talked about opposites in like grade school. I remember when I went to school and we would have like, you know, tell me what the opposite of hot is. And you would say it's cold. And that would be enough for, you know, a green check mark and you'd be good for the rest of the day. But a dichotomy is a little bit more strict because if I were to say what's the opposite of hot, it's cold. But if I were to say what's the perfect dichotomy of hot, it would be something that is not hot. Because I could have something that's both hot and cold in the same system. I could have warm water, for example.
Right.
But warm water is a mix of hot and cold. And if I can have hot, warm, and cold, then I don't just have two things in the system. A dichotomy is specifically just two things.
Right.
So I could look at that lifting temperatures as hot or not hot. And whatever it would be, it would either be one of those two things.
Yeah,
you could think of it as like a circle. And anything in the circle, everything that I can describe in a set would either be in the circle or not in the circle.
Right. Those are logical dichotomies. I guess they're irrational dichotomies. I guess we can have some dichotomies that are irrational.
Sure, yeah. You could have some dichotomies that just aren't really true dichotomies at all. You could have someone that says, for example, if I have a circle analogy, I could say, hey, something can be completely inside this circle that I just drew in my head, as well as outside the circle at the same time.
No.
And it shouldn't be possible to be inside the circle and outside the circle at the same time. I know a lot of people start to throw like three-dimensional space logic behind it, but I just want you to think about it less of a physical circle, more of a Venn diagram,
mm-hmm.
where I've illustrated like a chart I put things inside the chart or not inside the chart.
Yeah.
I'm probably having some hard time describing this. Could you guys help me out?
Well, yeah. I have an article about irrational dichotomies of religion on my blog, and I can just pull an example off of it. Christians are very fond of saying that they have a personal relationship with Jesus. However, if you can neither see nor hear the entity you're supposed to build a relationship with, then you cannot have a relationship with that, an entity like that. Relationships require a give and take of information and opinions, and which you literally cannot accomplish if you cannot see or hear the other person, the other entity.
So I disagree with that.
So, well, you've got your Christian hat on.
But like you and I, for example, Helen Keller, she was born deaf and blind, and she had quite the relationship with her interpreter, and she couldn't hear or see her.
Well, she could feel. She could feel her hand.
I think beyond those like simple, you know, means of communication, you can absolutely have a conversation with a person.
Yeah, but the other person was.
And have a relationship to me.
The other person was present. And they could feel their hands. I mean, it was a form of communication, even though they couldn't see or hear.
They communicate through touch. So without seeing and hearing, they could definitely have a relationship with each other.
Okay, I guess I'll have to put another sense in that.
What you're saying is, without seeing and hearing, you couldn't have a relationship?
Yeah. I guess you could have a relationship with another person if you could just smell them, maybe. But what I'm saying is, you can't build a relationship with a person or an entity that isn't there, and that you cannot communicate with. Because the person you're talking about did successfully communicate with a third person.
Well, it's
without
like
some means of communicating or establishing that the other agent is going to communicate with, it's much more difficult to have a relationship with that.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the invisible gardener concept, right? Some person tells the other person that, over the night, my invisible gardener cleaned my lawn for me, or tended to my lawn and everything. Well, did you see him? Well, no, but he's there. Well, how do you know? And you go through the process of verifying and doubting and verifying. So they set all these elaborate traps and mechanisms and apparatus to detect, and they can never detect. And the invisible dragon in the garage that you can neither hear, smell, touch, see, or any of the senses, it's kind of the same thing. If there's no way that we can detect in any form or fashion something, then what is the difference in it not being there? I mean, it could be, but we shouldn't be held responsible for not being able to detect it or anything that goes along with it.
Right.
Cool. You guys bring up some really interesting points. Let me try taking another shot at this. So we've met people who don't like the word atheist before. But really, what that statement means, or what that label just means, is that you don't have a God belief.
Right.
And if you do have a God belief, you're a theist. But there's no middle ground between the two. You're either a theist or you're not a theist. And if you're not a theist, you're called an atheist. And there are a lot of other things you can be along with an atheist, along with a bunch of stuff to be if you're a theist. But on the question of whether or not you believe, there's only two options. It's a perfect dichotomy. You either believe in God or you don't believe in a God. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You have a God belief or you don't have a God belief.
Exactly. There's no middle ground. There's no one, I kind of believe and I don't kind of believe. Like, there's very little belief there. Or not a belief there.
Yeah. A lot of
and
people.
If your answer to whether or not you believe in God isn't yes, like absolutely yes, then you fall outside of a different camp, and it's a second part of that dichotomy.
Right,
and you don't believe, or you are an atheist, but you have a belief in God, but you're not an atheist. Right. I hope I'm not confusing. The bottom line is, there's only two things you can do. You can either believe or you cannot believe.
Right.
And that's a perfect dichotomy because you can either have X or not have X.
Right.
And there's no middle ground in the middle. The logic of absolute that we're referring to is the excluded middle ground or the excluded middle. There's no middle ground there. Right. And it's possible to generate or it's possible to spend a set of anything in the world, anything in the universe, and break it down to two different things.
Yeah.
For example, there's two people in this room right now. There's Doubtify and there's River. I can say all the people in this waiting booth right now are either Doubter 5 or not Doubter 5. And that would be a perfect dichotomy because it's either Doubter 5 or not Doubter 5. And the people that are not Doubter 5 would be rivers. Am I making sense, at least on that part, too?
Yeah, yeah. One thing I'd like to say, I know that there are listeners out there who say, well, what if you don't know if there's a God or not? What if you can't make up your mind whether you know that God is there or not? Well, they're not talking about belief. They're talking about knowledge of God.
Like, exactly.
Some people say, I know there's a God. Some people say, I know there's not a God. But they're not talking about atheism or theism. They're talking about agnosticism versus Gnosticism. So
right.
I just wanted to address that before we went too far. Right, too far
even
away from.
We don't know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a purpose. Yeah. For example, you can even have a God that claims to be moral, but if he does amoral things, then he's clearly not moral because there's not a middle ground for being moral and amoral. You're either moral and you do things that are moralistic, or you're amoral and you do things that are not moralistic.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if I have a God that claims to be all good, if I have a God that claims in their own holy book that they are 100% good and they only be good, that in that same holy book they do terrible, terrible things, and they condone terrible, terrible things such as slavery, mm-hmm. or the mistreatment of women, or the destruction of innocent lives, farmland, crops, people's children, that God no longer has the power to claim most labels at the same time, or at least even the label moral, where that's an amoral God. And if they were to say they're a moral God, holy book, that is a lie. It's demonstrably not true.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Also, if I could say the moral itself, we're using the word moral, but the definition of morality, I think, is interesting. Comes at least one that I like to use. Comes from it's been quoted often from Scott Clifton, a YouTuber and actor, and it goes. I get the wording wrong on it, but it goes some along the lines of a particular choice or action is moral if it somehow promotes happiness. Promotes happiness. Now I'm losing it, but a whole bunch of things that we would consider across the line good for people and avoid harm and so on. And a particular action is immoral or wrong if it does the opposite of that.
Well, another dichotomy that you hear an awful lot from Christians and other religious people are good people go to heaven, bad people go to hell. That's a dichotomy. There's no middle ground. However, if you talk to them before too long, you'll find out that it doesn't matter what kind of person you are as long as you believe. They change it out from under you. They pull the rug and say, no, you can be a really bad person like Jeffrey Dahmer, multiple murderer, homosexual, cannibal. And he got Jesus in prison, and theoretically he's in heaven. It's not what you do, it's what you believe. So the dichotomy that they give you up front, be a good person, go to heaven, is a false dichotomy.
Also, my mom Mama Wombat, she's a witness, and she also believes in not only heaven and the hell, but also purgatory. And if that's no longer a binary system, though, we have three different places you can go.
Well,
we can still break that up to a dichotomy by saying, when you die, you either go to heaven or you don't go to heaven.
Right.
You either go to heaven or you don't go to heaven. That's a perfect dichotomy because whether it's purgatory or hell or anywhere else, that's not heaven. So now we still have two sets.
Or if you count limbo.
X and not X. So heaven and not heaven. Yeah. And I can still describe anywhere you go when you die using those two sets.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Catholic Church got rid of their limbo. Several years ago, they don't have that anymore. So just with a stroke of a pen, the whole realm of the supernatural just withered away and died.
It's amazing how someone could make such a decision,
And think of all those poor women who have had babies and the babies died before they could be christened and they're supposed to be in limbo. And it's like, psych.
Yeah, it's like the Matrix is way to go. You're outside of the system now. What happens?
And they always say, they always point to science and say, science is always changing its mind. Well, religions do too.
Yeah, as though it validates it from the beginning. It's
right. But they don't get closer to the truth each time they change their mind like science does. They just, whatever caveat the church wants to push forward at that time is what you get.
I do like a...
You know what? Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, the Buddhist approach as a philosophy, not as... I kind of like that approach in some facets of it, because the Dalai Lama even said, I had the picture shaved, it's website, it's many quotes, something along the lines of, if science proves Buddhism wrong, or the Tao and so on.
The teachings of Buddhism.
Then you should have to change, right?
Right. Buddhism will have to change.
Right.
That's the Dalai Lama. Now, that's a good religious leader.
Yeah. He's a very wise person.
So some sects of Buddhism, not all of them, we had a caller before who made the complaint, I think on the first call I was on the show, believe in reincarnation, and that's also another state of being that you can be in after you pass away. Your soul can either go to a higher life form, where I imagine being a human is the highest form, or you can go to a lower animal form, which is representative of you not living to your potential as a human being when you have the chance to be a human being. So, we can break that up into a dichotomy where you go up or down. You either go to a higher life form or you don't go to a higher life form.
Right.
Again, that's another perfect dichotomy. We have a state where only two things can exist.
Right.
You either go to a higher life form or you don't. So even if you stay at the same life form, that's still not going to a higher life form. So again, it's a perfect dichotomy. And perfect dichotomies are really, really useful. Just in the fact that you can make a system of just two different things, and a second tries to fit in the middle, then you know it's not valid, because if your dichotomy is true, then anything that tries to find the middle ground won't be able to. And it's a really great way of classifying things. It's a logical absolute, and you can break things down into just two things.
Sounds right.
Sounds right. Of course,
sounds right.
You can't always be wrong.
Okay.
But here's the great part. Here's the kick. For anyone to try to make an argument against the logical absolutes, the fact that I exist, the fact that I am what I am, the fact that I am not what I am not, and the fact that what I am and what I am not are two different things and there's no middle ground in between them. That's, to even construct an argument, it would require you to utilize the truth or the logical absolutes that's provided. You have to know, okay, I don't like what he said, so I'm going to argue against what he said. Well, now we're talking about something that is that exists, that has an identity, that has no excluded middle, that is what it is, and even if you don't like it, you're still talking about it. So it's still X equals X. It's still the law of identity. It still is what it is. So you're still utilizing a lot of the arguments as a truth, even when you try to argue against them. And that's what makes them so reliable, because we literally always have to use them to make any kind of sense whatsoever.
Right.
Even if this conversation makes no sense, know that. Know that these conversations, these laws, are so useful that we use them even when we don't know we're using them.
Right. You disregard them at your own peril. When you do disregard them, you end up falling into logical fallacies, which we talked about last week. You can go online and do a search for a list of logical fallacies, and you will find dozens, dozens of them. And they all depend on this dichotomy that we were talking about earlier. Because either the premises are true or they're not true. And if the premises, if the premises are all true,
true or not true,
right,
you also, great
right,
job.
You have if the premises that you use for your argument are all true, then you have a very good chance of reaching a true statement in the results.
You know, it's another point too. Like our legal system, for example, doesn't determine guilt and innocence; it just determines guilt or non-guilt. So when you're, if you are a conviction cannot be put on you, you're deemed not guilty. You're not deemed innocent, right. But you're deemed not guilty. Mm-hmm. So again, our system is under our logic, under our law, is based on these logical absolutes, where you can either be guilty or not guilty. And not guilty can include innocence, but it's not necessarily innocence. It's just a reference to the fact that on the claim, whether or not you're guilty, is determined not guilty. It's a perfect set of two states, and there's no middle ground in between them, guilt and not guilt.
Right.
Innocence and not innocence.
Right.
You're, thankfully, you have a system that's based on guilt and not innocence.
So true. When you go to a trial, they don't find you innocent. They find you not guilty or guilty. And you may still be guilty if they find you not guilty. It just means that they didn't have enough evidence to convict you.
Well, that's true. That's even more complicated. That's just human error in the work. And that's the process of a more perfect system. But right. At least it's grounded on absolute principles, which makes it at least better than a lot of systems out there.
All right. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some of these logical fallacies. We mentioned the true Scotsman fallacy before. That's basically the fallacy of naming something and saying that it's not true because of whatever bias you happen to have against that name or against the concept itself. Like, you know, McDougal walks into a bar and he says, "I'd like a scotch and put a little bit of the water in it." And over in the corner there's McTavish and he says, "Oh, that McDougal, he's not really a Scotsman, not a true Scotsman, because he takes water in his, you know."
Or McWillie from Simpsons. Mm-hmm. And when he's trying to grease... run through the pipes, one of those episodes. Mm-hmm. Like a Halloween episode. It's like, Nerdy a to a Scotsman.
Nerdy a to a Scotsman.
But Nerdy can outrun a greased Scotsman or something like that.
Well, using it in this type of session like we're talking about now, let's say that I say that somebody walked into a theater and shot up the place, you know, with an automatic weapon, and he was a Christian. And then, you know, the Christian that you're talking to would say, "Yes, but he's not a real Christian." That's the Scotsman fallacy. No true Scotsman fallacy, excuse me. In other words, Christians are Christians until they do something wrong, then all of a sudden they're not Christians, and therefore Christians never do anything wrong, you know, or bad. That's a logical fallacy.
Let's try a fallacy that's kind of related to the logical absolute that we just talked about. We can even do one that's the easiest one, which I think is X is equals X. If I said, for example, I was an atheist and I value rational thinking above anything else, that I don't change my mind on anything, especially on the question of whether or not a God exists, because I believe 100% a God does not exist, and I will not listen to any rational arguments for the existence of a God. My position is not rational, but I also value rationality above everything else. Am I making a contradiction internally?
I would think you are.
I think so too. I think saying I'm an X, whereas I'm a person that values rational thinking above all else.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm also saying that I don't change my mind in the presence of rational evidence. So I'm not persuaded by rational evidence.
So you're not X.
That is a notoriety contradiction. That is a separate thing. That is a not X. Mm-hmm. So I'm claiming to be an X and a not X in the same sentence. And I'm trying to find the middle ground between the two. And because of that, there's no middle ground between an X and a not X. That's a perfect dichotomy.
Yep.
And that is in its own right a contradiction. That's how these things come together.
Isn't that more of an issue of syntax, though, and basically naming? I mean, because what I'm thinking is that X is X, but what's described of X is a property, and the property is not X. X is an identity. So property X might be possessed by X. So you could be X with property of X, but you could not be Y. It might also have property of X, so it comes down to what you call it, I think.
Sure. So this also comes down to a concept called conflation, which is an aspect of not having very, very well-defined variables.
Right.
And so when you're using X, you're referring to it as a property. And when I'm using X, I'm referring to, like, specifically this one story. But I didn't really give, like, a very clear definition of what I meant.
Or equivocation, too.
But if we came to a definition of what X is, let's say X is a definition of what it means to be a Christian. And a Christian, we both agree, is a person that believes in God, follows the Bible 100%, does not take it euphemistically or as a metaphor, literally takes the Bible 100%, and believes in God and Jesus as their Savior. And then I show you someone who says they're a Christian, but doesn't take the Bible 100% seriously, just follows the New Testament, or believes Jesus was a really cool guy, but doesn't actually believe that, you know, he was resurrected. And what was really just important was what he said, and not necessarily what he did, but just the wisdom that he gave. We can look at that person, and with our definition of what X is, what a Christian is, we can say this person's claiming to be X, but is also not X. And because that is a distinction, they are following, they're not being logically sound in their claim. Because they're trying to find the middle ground in a perfect dichotomy where there is no middle ground. It's been excluded. So they're just not a Christian. Or the person who says they're an atheist but doesn't listen to rational thinking whatsoever, but you would assume, or not necessarily assume, but a person who claims to be rational but doesn't listen to rational evidence, that's a person who's trying to find a middle ground in a perfect dichotomy where you're either rational or you're not rational. So if we define our terms very clearly, we will have the ability to utilize these logical absolutes to their full utility.
Right.
And that's always useful.
Yes, but we're all human, and that's the point we need to make. It's very hard without being constantly on guard against some of these logical problems that we're having and irrational, to fall into irrational dichotomies. But it's well worth the effort of trying to keep those logical absolutes in mind, because you make fewer mistakes and you find yourself backtracking less often, and you actually achieve true communication.
Yeah, you know what? Also, being rational or, you know, keeping these logical absolutes in your mind isn't easy, but just because it's not easy doesn't mean that they aren't true nor are they worthwhile.
Right.
There's actually some fun that comes with having a very good standard of evidence that you practice regularly on the things that you believe.
Yeah.
And I recommend that anyone who's listening to this just take a while to say, you know, on the things that I believe very, very thoroughly and the things I believe like 100% or things I'm very convinced of, can I apply these logical absolutes to them? Can I say that these are what they are? Can I define them and find out what they are not? Can I say, like, these are my reasons, these are not my beliefs? And have I set myself in such a way that I'm finding personal middle grounds where I'm comfortable? Or am I sticking to the strict definitions that I've made that seem to be congruent with what the label actually
mean. And if not, then maybe I'm not that thing that I believe I was anymore. In 1859, Darwin spilled the first splashes of his universal acid, and the effects were like magic, burning human arrogance into ashes in pretty much the same way that Copernican math did. No, the stars don't shine just to improve the view from Earth. No, we're not the center of the universe. No, we weren't created in the image of Jupiter. No, we're not so special. Yes, the truth hurts.